gospel, and certainly not the first time since he's been on the face of the earth, but certainly at least in his public ministry, this is the first time he's encountering Satan. And Satan in the Bible is humanity's greatest critic. That's what he is in the Bible. In fact, Satan, the word itself, is a Hebrew word meaning accuser. So he's aptly named. He is the accuser. And if you go through the Bible, for example, at the beginning of the book of Job, Satan is cruising the earth and he comes up before God, and God says, "Have you noticed my faithful servant Job?" And basically Satan says, "You know what? You give me a couple cracks at him and I'll show you how weak he is." And he has all these lists of faults on Job, accusing before God. Or you can go to the section of Scripture where we find the high priest Joshua in all his tattered vestments, his mitre's a mess. And Satan comes before God accusing Joshua and basically saying, you love this garbage, this piece of garbage? And the angel of the Lord standing there rebukes Satan and says he has been a brand preserved. And then he instructs his attendant angels to change Joshua the high priest's vestments, to take the mitre off his head and put a new one on, fresh vestments. And they set Joshua up as the high priest, pleasing before God. But perhaps one of my favorite points in the whole of Scripture comes in the book of Revelation, when the accuser of our brothers is cast out finally. Now have salvation and power come, the authority of his anointed one. For the accuser of our brothers is cast out, who night and day accuse them before God. They, you and I, defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. And what is his testimony? What does the blood of the Lamb say to us about ourselves as Satan accuses us and draws up his lists of our faults and criticizes us? You're loved. God loves you. That's the message of the testimony. Every time we look at a crucifix, what we need to hear is this tremendous love God has for us. St. John tells us the love of God does not consist in the fact that we have loved God, but that God has first loved us. That's the proof. That's what love is. And that's where the Catholic life begins. The Catholic life begins with the conviction that I am loved regardless of the list of criticisms that could be leveled against me for my weaknesses, my faults, my failings. And believe me, they're all there. And the greatest critic of the human race, Jesus meets them today. Now, Jesus is the Son of God. He is the one who created this universe. He's the one that created you and I. And we believe in our faith that that God became one of us in Jesus Christ. And here's Jesus beginning his public ministry, and for the first time he encounters the greatest critic of the human race. And what does he say to him? Quiet. Like, I'm tired of listening to you. All you've done all these centuries is come before me criticizing all these people, trying to convince me what a waste it is to be preoccupied with them at all. Be quiet. Come out of him. Leave him alone. Get out of here. Scoot. That's his first words. Like, I've heard enough. And you know, I mention this because this is the good news. We are loved. Now, this becomes very important because it's the difference that Jesus Christ can make in our lives. There is, in a fallen world, always going to be something to criticize. That's the definition of a fallen world. It's not a perfect world. There's nothing this side of the grave that's perfect. There's always going to be something to criticize. Always. And so when you find something to criticize, it's no great finding. It shouldn't surprise you. Of course there's going to be things to criticize. And you know, that's why in some ways for me to go on social media a lot of times, I've kind of just given up because it's become so toxic. It's like a dog chasing his tail. They're just criticizing each other when the very thing they're criticizing you of is the very thing they'll be doing in their next breath. And we just go round and round. We're digging a hole, critical, 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 critical. And how do you get out of that? And there's only one way out. It's the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. That as the critic comes before God and says, you love these people? Jesus says, yes, now be quiet and get out of here. Go away. Be gone. I don't want to hear it. That's the difference Jesus can make in our lives. We are loved no matter what. And when we are loved and we recognize that testimony, that becomes our way out of the pit of this toxicity that is increasing in our culture. There's really no way to get out of it. How do I get the tar off of you that's covering me? And we just keep getting this tar, and I spread it on you, and you spread it on me, and we're just all getting like these tar. It's like a baby in tar. How do you can't get rid of it. Well, the way we do this is by way of a love that is greater than any love that is coming from the divine realm outside of our realm here. And God loves us so that we become convinced of his love, and then we go out and share that with others. As Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. Now, to then learn not to be so critical doesn't mean, therefore, that we start to live in la-la land. Put on some rose glasses and not come to the truth. No, Jesus knew the truth. Jesus knew the scribes and Pharisees were trying to kill them. He didn't put his head in the sand about that. He knew that was going down. And he still went on healing, ministering, preaching. He wouldn't be deterred until they caught up to him on Good Friday. He knew all that. He saw it all. So the question becomes, though, once you know the truth, sometimes even the truth about yourself, you might arrive at the truth of yourself and say, you know what? I just don't know. I don't think God would want to have anything to do with me. And that's where your faith, you got to get your faith in there, and you need to hear the word of his testimony and realize he died for you. He can't demonstrate his love any more powerfully than that. So even the truth about yourself, the love of God is your way out of that. And then you begin to discover the truth about people around you, their faults, their failings. And you might want to start canceling them. Because that's where we are today. We're just cancel culture. We're canceling whatever we don't like. And see, this is where Jesus makes a difference in our lives. We don't have to cancel those about whom we learn the truth. We don't have to cancel them. We can learn to love. We can learn to forgive. That's a real tall order. That's love, though. That's a challenge of Christ in our lives. Because God has loved us first, we then have something to go out and give that's different than what the culture has to give. And I'd like to really highlight that today, because that is a big difference Jesus makes in our world, and it is also a very big difference that Catholic education can make in a child's life. And I think it's one of the reasons why, on the whole, Catholic schools tend to be really safe environments. They're safer, and children will recognize safe places where they feel welcomed, accepted. Some of the schools where I'm from in Minneapolis, and even from where I was out east, they have metal detectors with police departments at the doors, making sure they don't get in with weapons. Hopefully we'd ever come to that place in a Catholic school, because we recognize every human being to be in the image of God, created in the image of God, and thereby worthy of our respect, honor, and reverence because of that. Not because of their status or lack of status, not because of who they are or what they are, but because they are a child of God. And that makes a difference in how we treat one another. And we seek to teach this to our youth, so that they'll learn to treat each other differently than what the culture is modeling for them right now. This is a huge difference. And then, of course, there's always the truth. We don't want to hide the truth from our youth, but we don't want to simply give them the truth without a way to contend with it in a profitable, prospering way, which is love, caring for other people. Even when you come to their faults and failings, we can learn to treat each other well. And that's tremendously valuable in this culture today. Something that can be learned at a very young age. And because of that difference that Jesus makes, Catholic education takes up a very important place within the church, because it's where we attempt to pass on this message to the young. Not simply getting ahead in the world, learning about the truth, and then learning about what it means to love. To love. Great challenge. And we can only pray that we'll continue to support this part of our mission at this parish, this mission in the church, because a lot of if we didn't have Catholic education, where are people going to hear the truth about what the Catholic Church teaches? If they're not going to hear it there, I can guarantee you, on that world out there, they're not going to hear it, because it's not being proclaimed. We need to get this message out about the difference Jesus can make in our lives and share that. And in light of that difference, I would just exhort all of us to support as best as we can Catholic education in the church. And at this time, I'd like to invite Travis Sawyer, who will speak to you now for a few minutes about Catholic education.